He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to our listeners for this week's edition of Car Keys with Jay, Mike, and Robin. And I think Jay has something to start out our show this week with, talking about some of the best cars that apparently he and others may think, and I as well, were the best cars in 2024. Go ahead, Jay.
So actually, I'm going to start out with, good morning. I'm going to start out with the Car and Driver's best-selling cars for 2024 in the U.S. And it's a list of 25 cars, and I do not have it in front of me because I'm sitting in a car in a parking lot. But I've kind of memorized a few things. And first of all, number 25 on the list with about 150,000 sales, which is still a pretty strong number, is the Nissan Sentra. And so we know, Rob and Mike know that I've been very skeptical of Nissan's future. But Nissan does have a couple models in that top 25 list. They have the Sentra, which is a small sedan, and we know sedans are not very hot anymore and haven't been in a long time, but yet they sell in quite decent numbers. And further up that list, you have the Nissan Rogue, which is a small SUV. I forget what the sales numbers are, but they're also pretty strong. I guess my point is there are still a couple cars in the Nissan lineup that are selling well. And so there may yet be a future for this company. Moving up the list, there are, you get into a lot of the SUVs, and a couple large SUVs are selling in pretty strong numbers, and that would be the Ford Explorer and the Jeep Grand Cherokee, both with about 200,000 sales. That's a strong number, considering the best-selling SUVs are selling in the 400,000 number range, and that would be a trio of three vehicles, the Honda CR-V, the Toyota RAV4, and the Tesla Model Y. And so the Y, which is the best-selling car in the world, I believe, is also right up there on the list.
I'm looking at your list here, and of course it's in order, so I have to scroll to find. But one of the notes you might want to make on the Grand Cherokee, which is interesting, even though it had 216,000 plus units, that was down 12% from 2023.
Yes, well, I think, and I think Robin may want to talk a little bit about the Stellantis problem. I think Stellantis is facing overall big sales problems. The numbers are down dramatically. And so even though the Grand Cherokee is down, like, I forget the number you just mentioned, 3 or 6%?
13%.
12%.
12%, excuse me.
Okay,
12, yeah.
So that's about that's about in line with Stellantis' sales numbers and their drop overall. And I think there's a bigger problem behind that. And honestly, I think the bigger problem is that there really is no other vehicle in their lineup that is selling in any kind of numbers except for the Ram pickup truck. We'll talk about pickup trucks maybe a little bit later.
I agree. Yes, let's do that.
And Robin, barge in any time here. The Jeep Cherokee was stopped production, a year or so ago.
2024, early in 2024. They produced some 2024 models of the Cherokee during the last quarter of 2023. It's interesting about when production for particular models, New Year cars, starts. They start very early in the preceding year. It's crazy how that happens, and I don't know why, but they did end total production at the plant because they were going to use the plant for something else. And the concept of their having taken that off the market, it leads me into wanting to make a couple of comments about Stellantis, which Jay said I might do. And this guy that was running it for a while, Carlos Tavares, who's European, is no longer at the company. And I'm reading some tail-end stories about some of the decisions he made during his tenure and basically really has gotten the dealer network and people who I think really know about Stellantis vehicles or Jeep vehicles, for example, really riled about this guy's running of the operation. One headline that I will bring up to somebody who, to those who are Jeep Wrangler aficionados, something I did not know happened. Jeep made the automatic transmission unavailable with the V6 models of the Jeep Wrangler during much of 2024. Now, that is what I would call a very stupid marketing decision. Apparently, Mr. Tavares was behind it. The other area was, I believe, the Chargers, or the Hemi V8, was discouraged as being a vehicle to be kept in the Stellantis lineup for Chargers and wherever it was used. And it is in a story that I've been reading that it was Tavares' unilateral decision to make that, to take that engine off the future options list for Stellantis vehicles. This guy, I don't think, really knew the American market very well. Jay, you may have a comment on that too. But anyways,
I do, and I think Tavares had a very strong background in the automotive world. He was at the head of Peugeot when they merged with Stellantis, and let's keep in mind Peugeot is the stronger arm of the Stellantis conglomerate. I mean, they were bigger and stronger than Fiat Chrysler. But I do agree with you that Tavares may not have understood the U.S. market. However, I think the dealer network is a little full of baloney, because I think Tavares was not the sole problem. I think the whole lineup was a problem.
Well, I agree with you there, Jay.
I think the Chrysler products have been having issues. I mean, there's a lineup issue since way before Tavares got to that.
Correct.
So, and for instance, the fact that the Jeep Cherokee has been off the market now for over a year, there's absolutely nothing in the Jeep or Chrysler lineup that replaces that vehicle.
That's
right.
Look
at the top 25 numbers. I mean, they have the other little things that we've talked about them. What's the other little Jeeplets?
The Compass.
The Compass. Nowhere near. It doesn't sell in anywhere near the
right.
top 25.
And they redesigned it for 25. They tried to put a small turbo engine into it because it was woefully underpowered, in my opinion. Aside from being too small for real practical family use, Jay, you brought up the Toyota RAV4, the Honda CRV, and one other one, the Nissan Rogue, and the Jeep Cherokee fit right into that category of SUV
yep.
sizing. And there are a lot of these Jeep Cherokees. I'm getting ahead of one of the comments I was going to make about what's on the road today. There are thousands of Jeep Cherokees running around our listening corner, many of them used because you can't buy new ones. And they, along with the Toyotas and the Hondas, they were well-sized vehicles for
yeah,
people
but
who
now,
didn't have
now they...
more than two kids and a lot more luggage to boot that required the bigger Ford Explorers and the Tahoes and all that, and the Suburbans.
But
it was a bad marketing decision, as you have surmised or has implied too earlier. So there we go.
I think that if you're going to take a vehicle off the market, you better have a good replacement for it. And
ready
the fact
to go.
Axing the Challenger and the Charger and replacing them with electric vehicles is, in the short term, it's a suicide mission.
Well, they're supposedly keeping a fossil fuel version of the Charger out there or a Challenger out there going forward. I think there's been an override of the decision to take the fossil fuel ones completely off the market.
So there's a lot
of stuff going on, as you have said, Jay, in the Stellantis background.
Yep. If so I let's may, move may, on a little bit from Stellantis.
Let's go on your list. Continue with your list. I'm very interested in it.
Let me go to the list for a moment. Something I noted is interesting, that about half of the vehicles on this top 25 are down from their previous sales and the other half are up. And there's something that's to be said there, seeing what vehicles are down and up. And some of the ones that were really up, Nissan Sentra, for example, at 25, the first one you talked about, the sales were up 40%.
They redesigned that, and they also redesigned the Rogue, and I think it's been quite successful.
And
so I think there are a lot of those two models. Toyotas
were up in a lot of cases, and Subarus. Yeah. Those were the ones that were all up over previous years. And then you get to the Jeep and some of the others that, even though they're on this list, had suffered pretty significant sale losses from last year to this year, or 23 to 24.
So I think there is a trend that was in 2024 a trend towards smaller cars. And we're slowly starting to see that in America. And I think that's where the boost came, because I think Honda's Civic also did very well. It's higher up. It's in that list, and it did well. And as you mentioned, the Sentra's numbers were way up. And there are other smaller cars and smaller SUVs that have done really well.
I'd like to jump in here and say a couple of things about that. I totally agree. I think in the Subaru, Toyota, Honda, and even the Kias and the Hyundai lines of vehicles, in those particular categories that Mike was mentioning as way up, and the smaller SUV kinds, you've got such a variety of offerings that you've covered every type of buyer that would want to buy anything in those lines between just fossil fueled engines and hybrids and or completely electric models. And that's what I think is driving some of the sales in that particular category of size category of vehicles. Whereas you've got the Jeeps, I think the Wranglers have hit a high point, for example. I think the Broncos may be hitting a saturation high point as well. The Broncos don't have the 4E versions of Jeep Wranglers, which is a more popular version because it's got a battery boosting aspect to its powertrain, which gives it some better economical situation. But those two vehicles alone, if you look at the window stickers on the mileage, I looked at a Bronco, a two-door Bronco with the four-cylinder engine in a dealership over this last weekend that preceded this show, and the city mileage per gallon was 18 and the highway was 17, or else it was reversed. And this is for a four-cylinder turbocharged engine in a Bronco two-door, which is a lighter version of the four-door. And, you know, people are starting to think about mileage, even though gas has been relatively cheap. And I think the Wranglers are reaching a saturation point. After you've got your Wrangler and you can go anywhere in the world, up over mountains and all that, there's only so many people that want that feature, and everybody else wants comfort or something better in the interior of the counterparts like RAV4s and Honda CRVs and once upon a time Jeep Cherokees, that kind of thing. And are the bigger lines, Mike, are the ones that are losing sales, the larger vehicles?
It seems to be mixed, actually. And most of it seems to be ICE as opposed to even hybrid or total electric. And it's interesting, too, in their Car and Driver, that the Ford F-Series, their top for the time at 732,000 units, was actually down 2%. But they did not include the F-150 Lightning, the electric vehicle. It sold 33,000 units.
Okay.
Is that up or down?
That's total.
Oh, okay.
Their price adjustment. Still, Ford's losing their derriere on this one.
And that's
true. Electric truck for working people is not a go.
I totally disagree. Most people who drive a pickup truck drive it very locally, go to the job site and do the work, and then go home. And the F-150 Lightning is an absolutely fabulous truck that you can use as a generator on the job, and I think it will catch on. It's going to be slow.
Oh, it's real trend, slow.
yeah, but that's the trend.
33,000 for the whole year? That's not
okay,
catching
on. Okay, we disagree now, yes, but the Lightning is an innovative vehicle that yet to catch on. You've got the Silverado, is an electric Silverado now, and there's going to be in the 25 Dodge line, Ram line, there's an electric Ram line coming too. So the electrics are going to make some headway. We're not going to talk about 500,000 sales of Ford Lightnings anytime soon, or Silverado electrics, or Ram electrics. Ford is still the biggest. F-150 is still the largest, greatest-selling truck line of all the truck lines out there.
Let me comment on that a little bit. First of all, I believe that the numbers for the trucks are, Mike, you can correct me. I'm saying all of this from memory. The 700 and some thousand Ford trucks are all the F series. So I think that's
the whole series.
You're right about that.
It includes the F-250s and the F-350s.
Yeah, that's right.
Likewise, in the GM camp, you have, I believe, about 340 or 350,000 GMCs and about 540 Sierras, which are the Chevy branded pickup trucks. And actually, when you add up GM's pickup sales, they outnumber Ford's. GM has always been very, just very quiet about the fact that, you know, leaving Ford in the lead. But actually, when you total GMC and GM and Chevys, which are identical trucks, just different dealer network.
Now, the Chevy Silverados are number two, right under Ford.
Silverados is what I meant.
At 542 units. But interesting enough footnote, they did not include the electrics once again that sold 7,400 units. So
okay. So the Chevy, I think the mistake GM made, and I think Ford has got it right, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is GM went with a huge battery pack, huge motors. It's not a very efficient electric vehicle. It's the same as the Hummer. And basically,
correct.
I will say that just stupid. The F-150 Lightning is a smart, efficient vehicle. And I think in time it will do well. And 30,000 sales relative to not 700,000, but the F-150 is probably, I'm going to guess, maybe 400,000 of the 700,000. So you're looking at 7% of total F-150 sales. That's not terrible in today's overall picture of the market. The only big exception in this whole top 25 is the Tesla Y, which is the only electric vehicle, fully electric vehicle, to make it on the list. And it pretty much is the top-selling, and I still call it a car because it's not quite an SUV.
Yeah, but that's an estimate, too, because they won't give out numbers on the sales.
Correct.
So I'm a little skeptical of that sales number right away.
I think it's pretty accurate. There's a number of ways
they can. Okay, we don't need to debate dubious versus accurate. Tesla is out there ahead of everybody else because they were here first and they've got it down packed, and people generally love their Teslas, and they are able to produce more than any of the other manufacturers are. Audi can't produce match it, Mercedes can't match it, Ford can't match it numerically, so you're not going to see them outsell Teslas. In fact, I just saw a headline that Tesla has outsold Audi as a total car line, apparently, for 2024. That's quite a shock for Audi, I'm sure. And this isn't electric versus electric. This is a total car lines of each of the manufacturers. And I don't have the numbers, but I just saw a headline this morning of this show, and that I will confirm later on.
Here's the good news and the bad news for Tesla. They have managed to be an all-electric car manufacturer and play with the top guns. And you look at the sales of the Tesla Y, and it's pretty much one of the best-selling cars or vehicles in the country. And worldwide, it is number one. The bad news for Tesla is that BYD is eating their lunch in China, where, unfortunately, things really matter more than they do in other markets of the world. It is the biggest market in the world. But a little side note on the Tesla Y, you know, it used to be a cool vehicle, circa 2020. It was kind of hip, and that was the first one to recommend the Tesla Y to anybody who was looking at buying a new SUV. And I recall looking at one of my clients, and she was asking me, what car should I buy? And I was like, well, what else would you buy but a Tesla Y? And last night I went into a long argument with a friend who may not be a friend by this morning anymore, because I just blasted her for putting a Tesla Y performance on the top of her shopping list. And in 2025, I think it's just a has-been. There are so many cooler cars, if you want to be cool, than the Tesla Y.
Let's jump into what makes a cooler car. Is it looks? Is it the make? What makes a car cool besides performance?
I don't know.
It's all subjective.
Your friend could argue with you about that. You may have lost a friend.
I'm being a little facetious. I hope not. I don't think so. But I think what makes a car cool is standing out in the crowd and yet having something that performs well. I'm looking at another Tesla. There are so many Tesla Ys going by me. It's not even funny. The two vehicles
it's a staple
I see around
of the taxi industry, too, right?
The Chevy Suburbans and Tesla Ys in this parking lot.
The staple of the taxi industry, right? Yeah.
Back to what what makes a car cool? I don't know. I've been looking at something to replace my very dull Subaru.
Yes, let's jump into that. I'm fascinated by your choice, and I think it's really smart because this gets us into cars that are really off the radar from the standpoint of high sales and that kind of thing. So go to it, Jay. What was it?
Well, if I say it publicly, maybe everybody's going to run and go buy it. So I was looking, how did I get to it? I can't remember how I got to this, but I started looking at Alfa Romeo Giulias. And I have a friend in Belgium who has one, and I've driven the car a few times, and they're absolutely great cars, and they're totally undervalued here, and I think in Europe still too. The fact of the matter is, the Giulia came out, I think, in the current version of it came out in 2017. It is either a rear-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive car. It's not a front drive, so it's the architecture of the car is a rear-wheel drive, and you can have it optioned as an all-wheel drive. The base engine is the 2-liter turbo that Robin knows well, that it puts out about 280 horsepower. And so I was looking at the car, and I've known for a while that new cars are selling. You can buy a new Alfa Romeo Giulia for, that lists for $49,000. They will sell for $37,000 out the door. That's incredible discount on a car, for no other reason that it probably has a bad rep. Wow. and it's sold by a crappy dealer network.
The latter, Jay, is true. I think the dealer network is key to this, to good sales of vehicles, and certainly Alfa Romeo does not have numerically, for one thing, and therefore location-wise for others, a good dealer network at all, because they don't sell anything in the numbers that would require them to have a better dealer network than they don't have. But
so,
I think the car is wonderful, and we talked about standing out as looking. I think the Giulia looks like a great car too. It does. Nothing else looks like it.
And then I thought to myself, okay, well, if there's such a deal on new cars, what are the used cars going for? And they're going. I can
half
buy a
the
Giulia.
Price.
I could buy a Giulia with less miles than a Subaru for less money than a Subaru. And the back seat goes down. I can put my skis in the back. It's all-wheel drive. I can go. I can do anything I want to do with the car. And it gets 30 miles to the gallon.
Right. Key point.
That is one cool car. I know somebody who works in an auto shop in our area, who is looking at Porsche Panameras, because you can buy a Porsche Panamera, a 10-year-old car for $20,000-$25,000. And it doesn't get much, like you said, it'll be the coolest dad at daycare. And so if you want to be cool, you have to, you have to expand your horizons a little bit. And and cool.
Well, let's
in,
go to the Fiat 500 TQ10OJ, which is out of print, fossil fuel wise, in the U.S. But, they all disappeared from the road. They didn't sell very well. You had a dealer network that was also lousy, numerically as well. They basically didn't sell in the U.S. because they weren't really functionally efficient. They were, except if you wanted a small car to get into a small parking space. And this last year, in 2024, I noted that a lot of them were running around again. It's like they came out of people's garages where they had been parked for a while because you can't buy new ones. And I thought they were a cool-looking little car. And I actually rented one about, 8 or 10 years ago out in Kansas as a rental car. And I enjoyed the drivability of it. It was like a scooter. Granted, it's not the everyday person's car or an everyday driver for a lot of people. But, it looks like nothing else either on the road. And it's cute. And now they've got a 500E for 2024. And I'm looking at a dealer who bought 60 of them, and he was offering a 500 EV for $0 a month rental.
And with all of that being said, do you guys know we are out of time?
Well, we'll have to take this up again. See you all next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut. Good.